Hi, Sue. How are you?
Well, thanks, Elijah. And how are you after all that salt?
Yes, after all that salt. Well, very well, thanks. Just busy at work, but yes. Getting there. Sue, as we know that 1400 years the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, spoke about health and disease and the use of various foods and spices. You also said that eat of the good things we have provided, and actually the Quran says that, eat of the good things we have provided for your sustenance, but commit no excess therein. And also there is healing in food, and the stomach is a home of disease, and abstinence is ahead of every remedy. Also, we encourage to fast, because fast also heals our body from disease. Now, according to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that peace be upon him, the top condiments were honey, olive oil, salt, and vinegar. Can we look at honey and vinegar today?
Yes, by all means. And I'm going to give you a shortcut into eating all four condiments on a very hot day.
Yes.
Enjoy a teaspoon of honey with a tablespoon of vinegar with a pinch of salt and a cup of water. Now, how about that?
Okay, let's do it again. A tablespoon of honey, you said.
A teaspoon of honey, and then vinegar, maybe one or two teaspoons to taste. But mixing vinegar with water and honey and a bit of salt, actually, in all the wisdom, we never realize that that is actually what an electrolyte solution
yes.
is. It's all the right salts and sugars, and the vinegar adds a sourness to it that then allows people who've got problems with blood sugar, like diabetics, to enjoy this refreshing drink and not get an insulin reaction to it.
And you call it an oxymel. Why do you call it an oxymel, the combination of vinegar?
The combination of honey and vinegar, it's an ancient Greek term. And yeah. I mean, we think we're so clever, but thousands of years ago, they knew all about honey. They even knew about honey in the tombs of Tutankhamun.
Yes.
They found honey that you can still eat today.
Yes, yes, no,
so,
definitely.
So, you know, when you say we don't want foods with preservatives, honey is a fantastic preservative. It's one of the most exciting ways of also treating viruses, which are quite common these days, and bacteria.
Yes. No, definitely, honey is highly recommended in the Quran also, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, recommended yes. honey. You said that it can be diluted with water, and we can also put some ice and some mint and lemon wedges. And
yes. So, and you know, the interesting thing I've found out about diluting honey with water,
yes.
it actually makes the antimicrobial effect. You know, it's antiviral and we call them antibiotics, but it's basically antibacterial activity. It makes it more potent. Honey is, of itself is a total solution.
You know,
and the moment you add the water to it, it starts to make the antibacterial effects far stronger.
You know, Sue, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to love honey with water. And
yes.
that is something that is actually recommended. So he used to have it very, very often. That was one of his favorites. Honey
yeah.
with water. So you used to have
honey
it
with water. Absolutely.
Daily. Yeah.
So well, add the salt and the vinegar, and you know, you can build on that effect.
Yes.
And if the sugar, if you're feeling nauseous, add a bit of ginger powder to it, for instance. Ginger and honey is a great anti-nauseant.
And can we add some cinnamon to that?
Cinnamon is for the diabetics.
Yes, yes.
You know, now you can buy cinnamon capsules. And it's supposed to make the insulin more active. You know, sometimes people are insulin resistant. But when you add cinnamon to food, it's easier for the pancreas, the insulin, to penetrate the sugars and actually take them into the cells. So cinnamon is truly something, if you're having something sweet and you are not committing excess therein, then add the cinnamon and it's going to modify the effect. And we've often said this to diabetics, when you're working with something sweet, if you have a teaspoon of sugar, and you just eat a teaspoon of sugar, or you just eat a teaspoon of honey, you are going to get the pancreas going, and you're going to get a reaction. But if you slow it down by combining it with something that is has an oil, like olive oil,
mm-hmm.
and you combine it with something that's got fiber, so grated carrots, for instance, and you add some protein, like some grated cheese, that same teaspoon of honey or sugar, or anything sweet, doesn't hurt your pancreas because your body's got all the other things to digest with it. But it certainly adds a very nice flavor. There's so many different types of honey. By all means, use it as a flavor, but don't stick a whole spoon of it in your mouth if you're a diabetic. Mm-hmm. That is the one warning you have to say. That is committing an excess there, and it's, you know, causing the ailment by not eating it in its true context. But a little honey with water, I would say add a little vinegar with it as well, or a little, as you said, lemon juice or mint. And on a hot day like this, definitely some ice cubes.
Yes. In fact, the Prophet also did mention, peace be upon him, that a house without vinegar would never suffer from poverty.
That's right. Now, it's ironic that vinegar is a fermented product, but it does not contain alcohol.
Yes.
It contains some very, very beneficial acids and probiotics, believe it or not. But it's very good in helping us to not become too alkaline. As you know, the stomach needs a very acidic base whereby to digest its food. And last week we were speaking about salt in adding the chloride to help hydrochloric acid in the stomach.
Yes.
Now, the other half of adding to the acid story of stomach acid is vinegar.
Okay.
And you may think, yuck, I don't feel like drinking a tablespoon of vinegar. But don't forget we have apple cider vinegar,
yes,
which is very beneficial. And it tastes nice in mixed with water, and again, the pinch of salt. Now, since I've been advising people to do this, thanks to the Prophet, may the peace and blessings be upon him, it is helping people today, here in the 21st century, overcome their stomach acid problems, the reflux, the indigestion, the having to get up in the middle of the night to go and find and add acid. You teach them to not only start the meal by tasting some salt, and, you know, we give them different salt to taste. You say, taste some Himalayan salt and taste some sea salt. Mm-hmm. And before they know it, their mouth is so full of this wonderful salty taste, they don't even put salt on their food.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the meal, to stop them from craving sweet things, we say, now taste this salt and taste that salt.
Okay.
And they forget about the sweet things. But that adds the sodium part for changing the pH from acid to alkaline. So I can't but marvel at the brilliance of why we need to eat salt in that way. It's really transformed the way I can advise people. It was all along. Salt is the guardian of the stomach.
Sue, the apple cider vinegar is nutrient-rich. Can you just elaborate on the nutrients that it has?
It's very high in potassium. It's one of your best sources of potassium. You know, we're always looking for balancing something against sodium. Well, it's potassium.
Yes.
And the apple cider vinegar delivers it in an acidic form.
Yeah.
And many years ago, I actually made my own apple cider vinegar. I wasn't expecting to make it, but I thought, well, let me take six of those very, very green Granny Smith apples. They were too sour and horrible to eat. So I thought, all right, I'll make them into a pulp. And I'll close it up in a bottle, seal it, make it anaerobic, you know? You either ferment with air, with oxygen, or you do it tied up, you know, without air. So I put the bottles away for 6 months and I forgot about them. And then when I opened them up and I strained the liquid, it made the most beautiful, pure, unadulterated apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
So you can make your own.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time, takes patience. That the vinegar is not an expensive item, and I think we tend to overlook how beneficial it is for us. Also for making pickles. You know, when you make pickled onions, you use salt and vinegar.
Yes.
And when you buy pickles, like gherkins and things, they're sold in a vinegar, and you see all the lovely spices, you know, especially the mustard seeds and the peppercorns and things floating in them. So when you've finished your pickles, don't throw the jar away with the vinegar. Why not slice up a few onions, soak them in salt, and put them back in the jar and get another round out of it? And also drink some of that vinegar. I know some of them put a bit of sugar in, but it actually tastes very pleasant if you have a little bit of that vinegar before a meal. And just think what it's doing to your stomach acid.
Yes. You also did say that it controls excess lactic acid in the bloodstream and helps with arthritis, high blood pressure, cholesterol, colds, constipation, cramps, diabetes, diarrhea, indigestion, muscle stiffness and sore throat. So that's a whole package.
It's a whole package. It's shared by the apple cider vinegar and the honey.
Mm-hmm.
You get a double benefit from it. And the reason for that is they contain a lot of the trace elements. And also strange enzymes, digestive enzymes. And the honey also contains a few of the B vitamins. And, of course, the antimicrobial effects are second to none.
Yes.
You shouldn't be getting sick. Being sick is an accident. It's not a normal state of being. So if we add more of these medicines to our daily lives as an enjoyable part of our diet, I think we're going to get healthy, whether we like it or not, aren't we?
Yes, definitely, definitely. Sue, when it comes to the vinegar itself, as you did say that you were able to make some, now, sometimes fluid is lost, someone has diarrhea or something. So what would you say? They have just honey and water, or they need to put...
And a pinch of salt.
And a pinch of salt.
Yeah, now they normally recommend, your electrolytes are normally the... we have the sodium and potassium, and we have the calcium and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
But salt is the one that will stop you from dehydrating. It is the key electrolyte in terms of preventing dehydration. And many thousands of babies in Africa every year are not lost from the diarrhea, but from the dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because it's so easy to prevent. So they, even in the clinics, and that they have sachets of glucose, and there's the salts in them.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, the reason we would use the honey as the source of the glucose is it's a complex sugar. There's fructose in it, there's sucrose, there's maltose, there's dextrose, all types of other sugars, plus it's 30% rich in amino acids, in protein.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're buffering the effect of the sugar. But the main reason why you would use honey instead of sugar when you're treating a diarrhea-based disease like cholera or just a general, what do we call it, gut rot,
mm-hmm.
is that the honey, when you mix it with water, it becomes very active at killing germs.
Okay.
And if you think of all the E. coli that's washing out into our oceans and our rivers these days, and Shigella, mm-hmm. and all those horrible diseases, if you made a point of not only drinking a bit of honey and salt and water when you've got diarrhea, but have it as, have a shot of it every day on a
yes.
hot day,
yes.
and at the end of a hot day, you actually are killing microbes on a continuous basis, and that can only be an advantage.
Yes, a verse from the Quran says, from it, the bee's belly comes forth a drink of varying colors, wherein is a cure for people. Surely there is a sign for those who would give thought. And, of course, I know the Bible also recommends honey. So,
well, it says, do you like honey? And in the Proverbs, which is the Old Testament, it says, do not eat too much of it, yet water will make you sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it truly is, taking honey into your stomach is a multiple cure for multiple conditions. And you know what? It tastes nice.
Yes. Now, when it comes to young infants, honey is not recommended? Is there a specific reason?
The reason that there's certain, although it's antimicrobial, it does contain certain spores of molds and infections in it that we can handle because we've already got them in our body and we've sort of inoculated ourselves against the molds, aflatoxins and things.
Mm-hmm.
But a young baby has got such a clean system, it hasn't built up its library of defenses yet. So you don't give it to your baby unless they're at least a year old.
Mm-hmm.
That's the raw honey. And there again, go... Play it safe, give them the sterile electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, breast milk.
That's oh, yes,
really
breast milk is the best.
Yes. And it's interesting, talking of babies, that the bees feed their babies with honey mixed with water.
Oh.
And it's to give them this extra protection against the microbes. Because beehives actually are not the healthiest environment out there in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bees live together, and so it's warm and it's moist inside a beehive, and often a lot of fungus and mold and damp grow inside the beehive. So they have to actually be very careful that they protect themselves from all the germs. And that's why they get all these special enzymes and things from nature that can fight disease. And then they mix it with their own saliva, which is very rich in natural enzymes, to make this wonderful thing that not only feeds their young, or they use as food in wintertime, but it also helps it to protect them from the disease. And hopefully they don't mind giving us some of their honey as well.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't really hurt bees. They make an excess of honey.
Yes.
And if we look after our environment and we have enough trees with flowers and we stop using all these nasty pesticides and we don't have any 5G around, we should have lots of flowers and lots of bees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad to think that in the future this may not be the case. We may be killing off our very precious resources of honey with our modern technology and our insensitivity to the environment.
Yes. Sue, is there anything else you can say about honey and vinegar? If not, we can move on to the olive oil.
Well, one could never stop saying anything about honey and vinegar. The most important, I think, to remember as tips of the day is that it's an electrolyte. It kills bugs and infections. And also, when it comes to wounds that are septic, it's
yes.
about the best thing you can put into a septic wound. And I had to advise someone about healing up a bed sore. You know these pressure sores that
yes.
you get? Big holes in their bodies.
Yes.
And they tried all the medical treatment and they'd cleaned the wound. You know, they do surgical debridement of the wound and then they pack in all the antiseptics and the drips and all the drama. And they couldn't get this whole sore on the person's spine to heal. It was like 2 centimeters by 5 centimeters. Huge thing.
Yeah.
And then a nurse said to me, you know what we use in hospital? We take honey. Natural raw honey.
Yes.
And we put it into the lesion. We put gauze bandage over it and we tape it up and we leave it alone.
Yes, I have come across that. I think even at
yes.
time of war or something, it has been used.
Yes, definitely.
Successfully,
and that's a very, very old remedy. I remember also hearing about a horse that had its foot nearly cut off with barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I opened the wound and the vet just poured in a honey, closed it up, and did nothing more to the horse, and the horse was walking again. It healed up completely.
Completely. Well, it's made by encourage for us to have it. I mean, as I said, the Creator
yes. so
speaks.
Skin, you can also make, you can add it to lotions and you can mix it with a bit of ointment or something. You can add more honey in there. And also, I'd like to mention that the other product that we use from bees that is so profoundly beneficial is the propolis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what propolis is?
Yes, yes.
It's a very strong resin that the bees collect from pine trees and blue gum trees and things like that, and then they process that into a putty. It's got a very strong aromatic smell, and then they seal up any of the cracks in their beehives. But they also use it to kill off invading insects, like there's certain moths that attack a beehive. I know all this because I grew up with bees. My dad is a beekeeper. And
he says
the bees make this propolis to protect themselves from all these invaders.
Okay.
And it is found that in the propolis, I mean, the honey itself can kill bacteria, but the propolis really makes a good job of it. And if anybody's got a stomach ulcer, it means that their stomach acid isn't strong enough. There isn't enough Helicobacter, you know, the Helicobacter pylori is a bacteria that lives in the stomach when the stomach acid isn't acidic enough.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're still building up on your salt and you may still have an ulcer there, just take a little propolis tincture every day,
okay.
and that will kill that bacteria. It takes a few weeks, a few drops before a meal, and look, the tincture is only soluble in alcohol, the propolis. But if you want to get rid of that, you just put it in a bit of water until the alcohol evaporates off, and then drink it. But that, I can vouch for it, does kill that bacteria in the stomach. Very, very effective. It kills a lot of other infections as well. So I'm not trying to stick my neck out by saying that things like coronaviruses and things are around to challenge nature again. There may just be a cure within all the things that we treasure and use
yes.
so often that are just common things.
Yeah. So we know olive oil leaves are antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral, and they are rich in antioxidants. Can you tell us about the olive oil?
The olive oil we value as the best monounsaturated fat in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the healthiest oil to cook with, and it's the healthiest oil to eat.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, when you're looking at the fatty acid profile. And the different types of olive oils, the extra virgin ones, you know, the green ones, have got a slightly bitter taste, and that's because they've got a lot more antioxidants and other enzymes and things in them. But olive oil itself isn't a nutrient other than a source of monounsaturated fats.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the other parts of the olive tree,
yeah.
And this is why the prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, it is the olive tree that is your gift.
Yes.
He was talking about the leaves, and there was an old tradition of chewing those olive leaves. They're very bitter and astringent, but boy, do they kill microbes. They also thin the blood. They help to control blood pressure. I could go on and on about olive leaves because we use them as remedies today.
Yes,
and
yes.
If you want to combine honey and olive leaves to make your own equivalent of an olive leaf capsule or a tablet, just get the leaves, dry them out, put them in the grinder. You can grind them up with calcium and magnesium or something to really get the powder going. And when you've got a fine enough powder,
mm-hmm.
you can mix it half-half with honey or just put a bit of boiling water on first to make a paste.
Mm-hmm.
Mix that with honey, and you've got your own free olive leaf remedy.
Okay.
And that is a gift from the olive tree.
Definitely.
See, the reason olive leaves don't ever get attacked by bugs and things and they don't get eaten up is because they've got all these chemicals in them. You know, the oleuropein and the oleacin. And there's a lot of other ones that fight off the natural enemies, especially the molds and the fungi. And one of the most important things they do is they help to kill the candida infections.
Yes, yes. Sorry. It's normally also they say that the olive oil can be, you know, when it is heated. Are you okay, Sue? Okay.
I need some honey.
Yes, I can hear that. Sue, we were talking about, you know, you said that you can cook with olive oil. You did say, you know, if you're cooking it, doesn't the properties of the olive oil get reduced if it's heated?
Only a little bit because it can handle a high temperature.
Oh, okay.
It's not okay. Like sunflower oil.
Okay, so I won't keep you too long. I think you probably need to have some honey just now. one last thing. What about applying the olive oil on, you know, your skin? Because sometimes it's recommended for skin irritations, etc.
It may feel a little oily, but some people really do enjoy it. Or you can mix a little bit into your aqueous cream.
Yes, yes.
And, maybe a pinch of salt. No, I'm just joking.
Okay. So I won't keep you long. I think, as I said, the honey is calling you. And your olive leaf tablets. Shame. Thank you so much for always coming in, advising us, and for your research. May you be rewarded richly for that. Until we chat again.
It's all on the website if you want to read up more about it. And
yes.
Please tell me about it. I'd love to hear your experiences with these top four condiments. And you can read more about it on our website at www.naturefresh.co.za.
Yes. So, listeners, at least the article up on this, the prophetic medicine, is on the website. And as I mentioned, as we mentioned, www.naturefresh.co.za. Okay, thank you very much, and until
thank
we chat again.
Thank you very much, Shukran. Goodbye.
Bye.